Welcome to Cavs HQ, presented by Betway. Thank you for joining us on the Cleveland Cavaliers Radio Network. Now, here are your hosts, Tim Alcorn and Jim Jones.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Cavs HQ on the Cavaliers Radio Network. It's presented by Betway, Tim Alcorn, Jim Jones. And Jim, with the Cavaliers at the halfway point of the season, we thought we'd have some fun tonight as far as upcoming games on the schedule. San Antonio on Friday. We've got two legendary figures in the San Antonio history. Their radio play-by-play man, Bill Schoening, and one of the all-time greats in basketball, the Iceman, George Gervin, will join us.
Yeah, this is going to be a unique show. You know, Tim, George is rare. He doesn't do a lot of interviews. He's just not that kind of guy. But I saw him on Bill Simmons' show on YouTube, and he was so magnificent that I had to get a hold of him, and I knew that he and Campy Russell are connected at the hip. And I sent Campy a text, and 10 minutes later, you know, George allowed me to call him. But George Gervin is one of those forgotten great players. In my estimation, and I have the highest regard for all of the old great players, he is top 10. I don't know how you could not mention his name. He could score at will just like Michael Jordan or any of the other great players.
One of the all-time greats. So we look forward to having not only the Iceman, George Gervin, but Bill Schoening, the radio play-by-play voice of the Spurs, right here on Cavs HQ. It's presented by Betway. We'll get things rolling right after this on the Cavaliers Radio Network. Welcome back to Cavs HQ, presented by Betway on the Cavaliers Radio Network. Tim Alcorn along with Jim Jones. And Jim once again has dipped into that black book to bring a legend onto Cavs HQ. But this week we go above and beyond someone sitting in the legends chair. We have one of the all-time greats. There's legendary and then there's all-time greats. And George Iceman Gervin now joins us on Cavs HQ. And this is a real honor for me to have one of the greatest of all times in the NBA joining Jim and I here on the program. George, it is great to have you with us. Thank you for stopping by and paying Jim and I a visit.
Hey, very good, man. Good enough, man. I talked to Campy the other day, and he told me you and Jim does a show, so I'm real proud to be a part of it today.
Well, thank you. One of the things, Ice, I wanted to, you know, for all the young people and they're watching this style of play, and they keep trying to call it new basketball. You and I come from where this game really originated with the three-point shot and the pace of the game is the old ABA. and you came to Virginia, and Julius was on that team. Talk a little bit about what that was like. George, how old were you then? Were you 18 then?
I think I was 19 when I started. You know, I was 19-year-old, just starting a professional career, you know, with the Virginia Squires. Fortunately for me, Doc Julius Erving was on that team. And what he helped me with, you know, with my game was he kind of helped grow my confidence that, you know, I was in the right place to play basketball as a professional. So I was real proud, man, and very lucky to be able to join a franchise that had Dr. J and Fatty Taylor, at that time. So I was proud of that yesterday and today.
Ice, I have read and heard that as great as Michael and LeBron and Kobe and those guys are, and they're incredible figures in the game of basketball, for those who had the honor and privilege of watching Julius Erving in the ABA, he took the game to a whole nother level.
Well, you know, you got guys that love the game, and then you got guys that's, in love with the game. And, you know, and Doc showed that separation, that he was in love with the game, and he did all it took to be the best. And, you know, I still consider him Mr. ABA because, you know, really he was getting all the recognition, deservingly so, with his play, with his love of the game, with his dominance. And he was an entertainer. So, you know, again, man, he just one of them special guys, man, that played in the in the league that me and Jim Jones fell in love with.
You know, Ice, one of the things that people don't know is that when you went to the ABA, you already had a reputation, because I remember Magic used to tell me a story about how everyone, they would come from Lansing and everything because George Gervin is playing.
Well, you know, Magic kind of come up under me. Magic, you know, Isaiah, Mark Aguirre, you know, because we used to play in the summer times all the time. And,
right,
you know, go around the country, man, and play, you know, as young pros and stuff. So Magic knew of me, but I knew of him also. You know, I started playing against him when he was 14 years old. So, you know, you want to talk about somebody that's in love with the game. Man, you talking about somebody special, man, at that age. So, you know, I always felt, man, it just was our responsibility as older players to teach younger players to be better players. And them guys, man, hung around me, you know, as young pros, man, and got some of the wisdom and the love of the game at an early age, man. So I'm real proud of that relationship that I had with them young guys.
Again, we're talking to one of the NBA's all-time greats, George Gervin, otherwise known as Iceman, a member of the Basketball Hall of Fame, of course, was on the 50th anniversary and the more recent 75th anniversary all-time team, 12-time All-Star, four-time scoring champ. And, of course, Ice, everybody kind of remembers you from San Antonio. Jim alluded to starting in Virginia with the Squires, and then, of course, you move on to San Antonio while they were still in the NBA, and it was with the Spurs that you put together these incredible numbers. Just talk about your career in general, and as you look back on it, what really stands out to you?
You know, just being a San Antonio Spur stand out to me. I mean, just how I became a San Antonio Spur. Very few know that, you know, when I got traded to San Antonio from Virginia, I couldn't play for a couple of months because, you know, Earl Foreman at that time, who was the owner of the Virginia Squires, wanted to renege on the trade. So, you know, he had to go to court and, you know, and fight that out, and San Antonio end up winning. So, you know, San Antonio for me at that time, I didn't know nothing about San Antonio, but the Alamo. I mean, you know, and I'm leaving Virginia Squires with at Norfolk State, Hampton Institute, you know, Richmond, Virginia, you know, so I'm leaving a rich environment, you know, for a young guy like me to go to San Antonio. So never did think I would fall in love with San Antonio like I did. And, you know, when we created, I think, a tremendous relationship here in San Antonio. The franchise grew over the years and, you know, until we merged in 76.
You know, well, one of the things, George, when I think about you, Connie Hawkins, Magic, all of you guys, you three in particular, were not the traditional basketball players. In fact, the way they play the game now, they call it positionless. That's the way I've always looked at you three, because of your skill set. You don't get enough credit for being unique and as great as you were, George, because I don't know, for some reason, maybe because they look at San Antonio as being a small market. If you'd have played in New York or LA, it would have been different. But talk a little bit about your style of play. You were a great ball handler. You had unbelievable hands.
Well, you know, Jim, I love the game, you know, and I put work in. I mean, I'm another one of them guys that was in love with the game of basketball. So, you know, I worked at it. You know, I used both hands. You know, I shot the ball 400-500 times a day. You know, I worked on my ball handling. I worked on shooting off the dribble. I worked on stand still. I worked on throwing right hand hooks and left hand hooks, you know, going to the, you know, to the hole. I mean, because, you know, I went to the hole a lot.
Yes, you did.
As a player, you know, and I was ambidextrous. I could use both hands. You know, I'm known, you know, for the finger roll, but I really think I should be known for shooting that in between jumper.
That's right.
You know, I shot 51% career.
Wow.
I'm very you know, satisfied with my career. I didn't win a championship. That's the only thing that I regret. But, you know, we were playing against your Lakers and stuff, man, to get there. And it was hard to beat, man, with Magic and Kareem and them guys. But, I mean, overall, man, I'm real comfortable with my career. Did I get the credit I deserve? I think history will be the one that really tells that. You know, I'm not caught up. Because, you know, if you ask a guy that's been back in my era like yourself, who was George Gervin, they'll probably still be talking. And I know that for a fact. So
that's right.
You know, that's the beauty of it for me.
The other thing is that, George, now you know about NFTs, right?
Uh-huh.
Have you put that poster out there yet? The one with you sitting on the ice?
Got to work with Nike with that. But yeah, you know, that finger roll. I mean, I got a couple of them in play, man. Me and my son has obviously been looking into it. I've been approached a couple of times by, you know, different groups. But that's something that I'm definitely looking into, Jim. It's a growing understanding of how to really take advantage of your, you know, your image and some of the things that you've done in the past. So
yep,
I'm researching it.
Okay.
That's awesome. We're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, we'll have more with one of basketball's all-time greats, the Iceman, George Gervin, our guest in the Legends Chair on Cavs HQ, presented by Betway on the Cavaliers Radio Network. Welcome back, Cavs HQ, presented by Betway on the Cavaliers Radio Network. Tim Elkhorn along with Jim Jones, and such an honor to have in our Legends Chair today one of the greatest of all times in George Gervin, the Iceman, of course, a member of the Basketball Hall of Fame, 12-time All-Star, and he actually was the All-Star MVP in the 1980 game. But Ice, the story I want you to tell right now is one of my favorite NBA stories as we celebrate the 75th anniversary of the league. I remember this vividly as a 15-year-old. It was the end of the 1978 season. You and David Thompson are involved in an unbelievable struggle for the scoring title in the NBA. It comes down to the final game of the season for each team. You with San Antonio and, of course, Skywalker with Denver. They've got an afternoon game. He puts up 73 against the Pistons. So now you have a night game. You take the story from here.
Well, I mean, I led the league in scoring all the way up to the last game. And, you know, and David had that incredible game to, you know, to lead the league after that game. So, you know, our media called George, called me up and say, you know, David just scored 73 in Detroit, you know, which is my hometown, the Cobo, which I played my high school championship games at. He scored 73 points and you need 59 in order to regain the title. So, you know, we go into, you know, I'm in New Orleans at the Superdome, and man, it just unbelievable how it unfolded. You know, I had to kind of coach that, you know, appreciated, you know, what I did all year. And, you know, and Coach Mo and Larry Brown were good friends. You know, me and David was rivals, you know, for the whole year. And Coach Mo, I never get it. Coach Mo say, yep. Yeah. You know, I know Larry had something to do with that. So we went to the locker room and Coach Mo addressed the guys and say, guys, you know, David and Larry then was up to things and they let David score 73. So we want to try to let Gervin, let Ice, you know, regain his title. So all the guys agreed. We went out in the first quarter. I missed my first six shots, called timeout. I said, Coach, man, we ain't got to worry about it because, you know, I needed 59. So, you know, six shots up and I ain't make now. And all my guys encouraged me, come on, Ice, that's all right, come on. And that's all the encouragement I need. So I went back out, got 20 points, first quarter, second quarter. I went back out, I got my rhythm and scored 33. So, so I had 53 and I only needed 59. So, You know, I went up and got 63, and my trainer said, all right, Ice, you got 63. You got, no, he said, you got 59. I said, okay, let me get a few more points just in case they miscalculated. And that's why I ended up with 63. So I ended up with 63 points in 33 minutes to win my first scoring title.
George, we talk about over 50 points, and you just, okay, let me go out and get it. You know, there's only been a few guys who could say that. Michael was one, Wilt was another, and you, of course, and maybe a couple more guys that, okay, tonight I'm going to get 50. You know, like, hey, what? Okay, I'm going to get 60 on you. I mean, you know, we can't even imagine that. But for you to even say, okay, let me go out here and get 59. Okay, let me add some more. It's just a whole different state of mind. But, George, I want to tell one story. Me and you went up to Lansing, played in a game for Magic, and I never will forget it. And you were just messing around before the game. You were at the scorer's table, bouncing the ball between your legs, behind your back, hesitation, and you just standing in place. And I was tying my shoes, you know, getting ready to go out there and play in this pickup game with Magic. And from the scorer's table, I'm thinking about the angle, you just took a shot. You didn't throw it. You shot the ball and banked it in. And everybody in the building went, oh, look, oh, man, oh, did you see that? And then they threw the ball back to you, and you shot it again and banked it in. And you looked down at me and said, you thought it was luck. That's one of the greatest, George. I said, after that, I said, you know what? I just saw the greatest shooter I've ever seen. There's no question about it.
You know, I love the game.
I don't know if you remember that, but
I mean, I don't. I mean, but you do, and that's the beauty of it, man. I mean, because, you know, my whole game was to entertain. I knew that's what I was. I was an entertainer, and I love doing that. You know, I mean, if I can come to the game, man, and you know, and I can have one of them games where we can win, and you can have some memories of some of the things I've done, I was satisfied. You know, that's how I played. I mean, I think I was one of the first guys to ever win a scoring title and win a division. So, you know, that's the beauty of it for me. Man, I just loved it. I mean, you know, I mean, and you could tell when guys are in love with the game, man.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the beauty of it, man, because you hear stories like you just, you know, exposed to your, you know, to your fan base, man. George Gervin really loved and fell in love with the game of basketball.
Yes.
And George, you were so fun to watch. I recalled just a few minutes ago, remembering that last game of the 78 season when I was a teenager. And man, when you were on television, it was something to watch. It was must-watch television. And I want to know where the finger roll came from. You know, you go to basketball camps and they teach you a jump shot and they teach you this and that. But where did you learn the finger roll? Where did that shot come from? Because that was George Gervin's shot.
Well, you know, you think about it, man, and I tell people all the time, I'm not the inventor of the finger roll. I mean, if you go back in history, you know, Dr. J, you know, he had his own version of the finger roll. Connie Hawkins had his own version. Wilt Chamberlain, you know, had his dipper. You know, yeah. I mean, being a student of the game, man, I watched him. You know, and came up with my own version of the finger roll. So I went to work on it, and, you know, and I tell the guys, man, I made it fast. I'll never forget in 1997 when we had the greatest 50 in Cleveland. You know, I was sitting at the table with Wilt, Connie, and Doc. You know, and I had a chance to explain to him, because Wilt said, George, you know, you stole my finger roll. And Johnny Hawkins say, no, I, you know, he got it from me. And Doc said, well, you know, he played it for me. I say, look here, guys, I got a piece from each one of y'all, man. I just made it famous. So that's the beauty of it for me, man, to be around, you know, three guys that I idolize, man, and playing the game of basketball, and to, you know, hear them kind of remarks, man, from them guys, man. It just humbles you, man. I mean, you know, I mean, just to hear Jim talk about me, man, it humbles me, man, because I loved it, man. And, you know, and it's obvious that, you know, I had a certain impact on certain people, man, that love that game.
Boy, there's no doubt. Well, Issa, this has been truly an honor to have one of the all-time greats in the NBA stop by and join us here on Cavs HQ. It certainly means a lot to me, and I know to Jim and our fan base and our listeners. So we cannot thank you enough.
Hey, truly a pleasure, man. Tell my man Campy Russell, y'all, I said hello.
I sure will. Okay.
Thanks, Ice.
Okay, wow. Thanks, guys.
The Iceman, George Gervin, joining us here on Cavs HQ, presented by Betway. Some unbelievable stories. That's why we love when Jim reaches into that black book and gets somebody in that legend's chair on Cavs HQ. So much fun. We'll take a quick time out. More to come on Cavs HQ, presented by Betway. So stay with us on the Cavaliers Radio Network. The Cavs and Monsters have teamed up with Tito's Handmade Vodka to support Assists for a Cause. For every assist made by the Cavs and Monsters this season, Tito's will donate $10 to the Patriot Project to help restore health and quality of life to military members and their families. With a combined total of 1,170 assists, $11,700 has been raised already. Cavs in the Community is brought to you by Discount Drug Mart. We'll be back with more Cavs HQ presented by Betway after this on the Cavaliers Radio Network. Welcome back to Cavs HQ presented by Betway on the Cavaliers Radio Network. Great to have you with us. And I'll tell you what, it is great to be joined by the radio voice of the San Antonio Spurs, Bill Schoening, as he now joins us from San Antonio. And, of course, the Cavs, a little bit later on this week, will be in San Antonio to take on the Spurs. So we thought it would be fun to have Bill on the show and talk a little Spurs basketball and some other things that are a part of Bill's life. He's a well-rounded guy. So, Bill, as always, great to have you on. We loved it when you made the appearance back in the spring. So we thought with San Antonio coming up on the schedule, we had to get you back on this week.
Great to be with you, Tim and Jim, two of my favorite guys in the NBA. So good to be with you guys.
Well, we were chatting before we rolled here, certainly for San Antonio, some uncharted territory as you go through a tough year and a rebuilding process, per se. Tell Cavs fans and our listeners about that.
It's been a tough process here lately because we've lost so many guys to health and safety protocols, Tim. Six guys are out right now, hoping to get a few of those back. But we just had a seven-game road trip, and the team went 1-6. We had to sign three guys in emergency 10-day hardship contracts. And I know there are other teams doing that, but it's just very difficult when you're going through that. So right now the Spurs are 10 games under 500. It's a young team that's got some good young players and shows some promise, but it's a team that also can't afford to have, you know, these kind of setbacks. You know, not many teams can afford to lose six rotation players.
You know, one of the things that I've been watching with the Spurs is that how's Pop holding up under these circumstances? because he's an emotional guy like me. He and I played together in the Pan Am games together. And we're from that different generation. And he's, how's he holding up?
You know, he's doing amazingly well. I think, you know, his expectations, of course, are tempered with the team he's got, Jim. He doesn't have Manu Ginobili and Tim Duncan and Tony Parker. So he knows this is a young team that needs to grow. So he's been more of a nurturing coach these days and really giving encouragement to these young guys. He sees a lot of promise in these guys. So I think it's important for him to really do a lot more teaching than he has in the past. Now, he underestimates his value during those championship years because he would say he would just roll the ball out and let Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker do their thing. Oh, no. And we know that's not true. But he feels like, I think he used the word necessary. I feel like I'm more necessary now to help guide these young players. Yeah.
Bill, when you look at this Spurs roster, you mentioned some of those Hall of Fame greats, but who stands out from the guys that have been assembled this year for San Antonio?
Well, we've got a point guard who I think if the situation were different, he would be definitely considered for the All-Star game. His name is DeJounte Murray, and he's a really good young player. He's only 25 years of age. He's been in the system now for 5 or 6 years. He lost an entire year to an ACL injury, but he is such a good defender. He's a good rebounder. He's only 180 pounds soaking wet, but he averages 8 rebounds a game. He's been more of a distributor this year. And I think the fact that some of the veteran players like DeMar DeRozan, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Patty Mills have gone on their way, that's allowed an opening for young guys like DeJounte Murray to really shine. And he's having a marvelous year. He really is. And I think that, you know, if the Spurs were winning more games, they'd be looking at him possibly as an all-star. But there's so many good point guards in the Western Conference right now, of course, led by Ja Morant. So I think that the all-star game is definitely in its future.
I know you had Tim working with you guys for a while. Is he still involved with the organization?
I think Tim will always stay involved at some level, Jim, with the organization. He's not an active assistant coach right now, but he's around a lot. And I know that if, say, Jakob Poeltl, who's one of our young bigs, decides he needs a little mentoring from Tim, I bet he can call him and Tim would be in the gym in 5 minutes. That's the kind of guy Tim is. So he stays very close to Pop in the organization. But I don't know that he has any kind of official capacity right now.
Again, we're talking with Bill Schoenig. He joins us on Cavs HQ, presented by Betway. Bill, the longtime voice of the San Antonio Spurs. And Bill, you were telling me again before we got started here, not only are you the voice of the Spurs, we talked during your last appearance, you're an accomplished musician, and now you've become an author. Tell our listeners about your upcoming book.
Well, I appreciate that, Tim. It'll be out hopefully next month on Red Penguin, where we've got our fingers crossed with that. But you guys know when the COVID hit in March of 20, we all had to hit our brakes right away. It wasn't like we had to slow down. We had to hit the brakes. We stopped. So for me, and I've always been an active guy, I had all this time on my hands all of a sudden, you know. So I had been thinking about maybe writing some stories down, some relating some stories from my life in a book. But until this COVID thing happened, I never really thought about sitting down and doing it. And then I did it. So it took about a year to put all the stories together and write them. And now I've got a really good editor and a publisher. So I've got all these people helping me. And hopefully all the stories are written and hopefully it'll be out next month. But I've got to do the audio book now, which is really difficult because you got to read all these stories. And I'm trying to read them in such a way that I'm not doing play by play. So it's a whole different dynamic than reading an audio book instead of, you know, describing a pick and roll with DeJounte Murray and Jakob Poeltl. So it's a little bit different deal. But a lot of my stories, and Jim knows me pretty well, are a lot about music because I've written so many songs. I've written close to 30 songs now. And so this name of the song is going to be, or the name of the book is going to be Stories, Sports, and Songs. Because in the audiobook, I include some of the songs, you know. So, and when I write music, I try to do it differently because I generally write lyrics and melodies. I'm not a great guitar player, but I've got some really good musician friends. So I'll form the melody and the lyric, and then I'll take it to my friends. And then we kind of work on the production and the instrumentation and the mix and all that sort of stuff. So I've had a lot of fun. Jim, I don't know if I sent you Here Comes Smokin' Joe, but I wrote a song, an R&B song, Joe Frazier, the former heavyweight champion.
Well, send it to me again, would you please? Because Jim Jones is One Finger Louie. I start clearing stuff out if I don't recognize it right away, and I probably didn't recognize it. But, you know, I am writing. I'm just good. Starting to write. I'm just starting now. And, of course, I got my bass, but I don't have the other resources yet, someone to interpret, you know, my rhythms and beats and, you know, what keys and theory and all that stuff. But would you send me that again? I'm anxious now. I want to hear it.
Yeah, and it's funny, I sent Tim a song when we were in Istanbul, Turkey about 8 years ago. The Spurs played Fenerbahçe Ulker, and those names are difficult. Let's be honest. I mean, they're Eastern European names. Some are Turkish, some are Serbian, some are Croatian. And I said, how am I going to learn these names? So I wrote a little reggae beat, and I learned the names to that beat. So it was in rhythm for me. When I got over to Istanbul, I was able to do the game, I think, fairly well. One of those players, by the way, is now in the NBA, Nemanja Bjelica. And that's the first name I mentioned, the song, Nemanja Bjelica. So anyway, we had a lot of fun with it. My producer's a great musician and plays a lot of different instruments. And he got where I was going right away. So as far as I know, Jim, this is the only reggae song ever written about a basketball team from Turkey.
I like it. That'll sell. You know that'll sell. It'll be a collection.
All my songs are million sellers. I've got a million in my cellar.
Bill, I do want to ask you, though, the thread of writing as compared to play-by-play, because both involve storytelling. Did you find that as you were writing the book?
I've written my whole life, Tim. Even going back to high school, I wrote poems. I wrote short stories. I always loved writing. And, of course, as a play-by-play guy, you know this, writing is a big part of what we do. We have a 40-minute pregame show, so I have to actually write two opens to kind of set the scene for the game. And while I write them in long prose and, of course, try to deliver them in kind of a conversational way, it's still writing. And then, of course, I've got to write reports for the radio station after the game about what happened during the game. So I've been writing my whole life, and this is just more of a long form. The book is. And then, of course, the songs are just a creative aspect of that.
That's awesome. Again, Bill Schoening, the radio voice of the San Antonio Spurs, is our guest on Cavs HQ, presented by Betway. We'll take a quick time out. When we come back, we'll have more with Bill. So stay with us on the Cavaliers Radio Network. Welcome back, Cavs HQ, presented by Betway on the Cavaliers Radio Network. Great to have you with us, Tim Elkhorn, along with Jim Jones, and of course, the two guys on the other side of the window, Marty Allen, along with Kurt McLaughlin. Great job by the dynamic duo. And our guest is Bill Schoening. He's the radio play-by-play voice of the San Antonio Spurs. Cavs will be in San Antonio on Friday night as part of this six-game road swing. And I wanted to start this segment, Bill, by asking you about Becky Hammon. And, of course, we talked about her last spring on the show and what her career trajectory would be. And certainly Becky's name has been in the headlines as of late. Well, your thoughts on this real trendsetter and groundbreaker as far as her career in the NBA.
Yeah, I really thought that she would be an NBA head coach, maybe not by now, but certainly she's very, very close. But the Las Vegas Aces basically made her an offer she couldn't refuse. They want her to run the whole program there. And of course, she's had her number retired by the San Antonio Silverstars when she played in the WNBA with San Antonio. And then that franchise moved to Las Vegas. So this is still the same franchise for which she played, for whom she played back, a decade and a half ago. But she's a great basketball mind. You know, Pop brought her in not for any publicity stunt. Jim knows Pop very well. He's not into that. He wanted her basketball knowledge, and she's got it. And she's really learned a lot under him. And now she's been an assistant since 14. So I really think that she's primed for a head coaching job. The WNBA offered a general manager and, a chance to be a head coach. And I wouldn't rule out down the line at some point in time, because I think she's going to be successful in the WNBA, that an NBA franchise would take a look at her, because she's just such a bright person, a positive person, all about relationships with her. I think that she's got a great rapport with these young guys. In fact, she's going to finish out the season, even though she took this job that will start, I guess, in May. But she's still going to handle some general manager duties, kind of do double duty right now. But a lot of our players, Lonnie Walker especially, said, man, I was so relieved to hear that she's going to stay with us for the rest of the season. It would have been tough for these guys who developed a relationship with her to have her leave midseason.
Well, you know, it's about being a trailblazer, and people don't realize the guts and the courage that it takes for her to participate in such a male-dominated sport. And I've listened to her, some of her YouTube comments and some other comments by her. She's a really strong lady. I like her.
Yeah, she is. And she demands respect, you know, and not in a yelling kind of way, but just because she has that knowledge and she knows what she's talking about. And she's worked hard. You know, she was an undersized point guard. She worked hard to get the accolades. I think she was a six-time All-Star in the WNBA. And so she can relate to these young guys. We've got a young G League team called the Austin Spurs. And a lot of our players end up going to Austin for a while to get development because they might be at the end of the bench. And Pop always felt it was good to go out and get 30 minutes in the G League and, you know, kind of hone your skills there. A lot of our young guys have spent an entire year with the Austin Spurs. And I think she works really well with these young players, developing them. And again, they've got a great deal of respect for her. And it's like, I think it was DeJounte said, she's not a great female coach. She's a great coach. You know, the gender doesn't matter.
There you go. Again, we're talking with Bill Schoening. He's the radio play-by-play voice of the San Antonio Spurs. And Bill, I've alluded to the fact, boy, you've been there through some great times. And now that kind of that rebuilding process and the common thread is Pop, is Greg Popovich. He'll go down as one of the greatest coaches in NBA history. What is it to you that really stands out? What is it about Pop that has made him this legendary coach?
I think it's his relationships with his players and with his coaching staff. So many of his guys that have coached under him have gone on to success as head coaches. As you guys know, his coaching tree spans the entire NBA. You look around the league, there are at least close to a dozen guys that are either assistants under him, played under him, or coached in the G League in Austin. A guy like Quinn Snyder, for instance, was the head coach of the Austin Spurs for three seasons about a decade ago. So there's a lot of influence he has on coaches and players. And I think that's one of the things about his legacy. And he's all about relationships. You know, the most important thing to pop after the game is to go out and get a glass of wine and dinner and invite people. And that's just the kind of guy he is. And he's also a big tipper, I understand. But he's a worldly guy. My best conversations with Pop have been about, you know, food or wine or travel or World War II. He's into history. He loves the Palestra, for instance. And that's a building in my hometown of Philadelphia where the University of Pennsylvania plays. And it was built in 1926. And if you're not from Philadelphia, you might not be familiar with the Palestra, but it really is. We call it the Cathedral of College Basketball. And every time they're in Philly, they have their shoot around at the Palestra because he just loves the place. He loves the history of the game, and he loves history overall.
Wow. Well, you know, I played at the Palestra, so I really told my age. So I remember that. But I just want to shift it just a little bit. The NBA is developing new talent. Give me three young players that people should be looking at and watching.
Wow. You mean young guys?
No, let's just say guys, let's say who've been in the league at least 2 to 3 years.
Okay. I have to start with Ja Morant. I mean, he's doing some amazing things right now. I think that his talent level, I really like him. You know, another young player I like who plays for Miami, Tyler Hero. He's a little streaky. You know, sometimes he doesn't have great games, but he's capable of really lighting it up. And then, you know, there's so many good young guys in the league. And I'm going to throw out a name that is going to be a long shot only because he's so young. And his name is Josh Primo, and he's our rookie. He just turned 19.
Okay.
He's got something about him, Jim. The Spurs took him pretty much to give him a kind of a redshirt year. They took him a year before maybe he was really truly going to be NBA ready. But they saw the development of the process of developing him as a potential star. I don't know if he will be a star, but he's just a young guy who's getting some playing time now because of all these guys going out with health and safety protocol. But he's very young. He's got a long way to go. But there's just something about him. He plays with a certain air of confidence. I just think that he's going to be – he's about 6'6", 190 right now. I think he's got potential to get a little taller. But he handles the ball well. And I just like – he's got a swagger without being cocky, if that makes any sense. You know, there's a difference between being confident and cocky, and I think he's just a confident kid. He's from Toronto. He only played 1 year at Alabama. But anyway, for all those reasons, I really like Josh Primo. And that's kind of a maybe not right now guy, but down the line guy.
Yeah, I just want to add to that I saw him play in the summer league, and I was so impressed. And you guys only played him a few games, and then you shut him down. But I thought he was exceptional.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a really good player, and he's a real smart kid. You know, he's like that's one of the things about Pop, and Jim, you know him very well. When they interview kids they're going to draft or they're looking at a potential free agent, he wants to talk to them and see what kind of person they are and see what kind of, you know, relationships they have with other people. He brings in, you know, he tries to bring in real bright guys. That's the thing about Lonnie Walker. I mean, if you ever get a chance to interview Lonnie Walker, he's just such a bright guy. He's got great stories. He's well-read. He reads history. And I like kids like that are well-rounded and want to learn about other stuff other than basketball. And that's the other thing that Pop really emphasizes to these young guys. You know, read a book. You know, read about history. Read about your heritage.
That's right.
You know, he was so active during that period of time when we were in the bubble. All the tension was going on. You know, Pop was trying to be a calming voice and all that. Learn about your history. It's so important to know what happened in this country many, many years ago.
Well, it's great stuff. Well, Bill, unfortunately, the stop clock is telling us, or the stopwatch is telling us that we need to move on. But, wow, this is always fun. Enjoy our conversations. Unfortunately, Jim and I won't be in San Antonio on Friday night. I was looking forward to reconnecting with you in person, but this is the next best thing, and truly appreciate your time and look forward to hooking up again.
Great to be with you guys. Our favorite hamburger place, Whataburger, they've got that place right behind the broadcast location. They're going to go broke.
Don't be giving away Jim's secrets here. Well, you're not allowed to do that.
Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Bill. Bill Zonig, the radio voice of the San Antonio Spurs. He joins us here on Cavs HQ, presented by Betway. A quick timeout and a lot more to come. Stay with us on the Cavaliers Radio Network. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Cavs HQ, presented by Betway on the Cavaliers Radio Network. Boy, Jim Jones, that black book of yours, it just keeps coming up with unbelievable guest after unbelievable guest. But this week, to have George Gervin, the Iceman, stop by and join us and tell some of the great stories in his incredible NBA and ABA career was something very, very special.
Yes, and it was a stretch for me, but I have to thank Campy Russell. You know, Campy Russell and George are tied at the hip. Campy's my little brother. And so when I made the call, you know, I wasn't sure if he and George were still, you know, close or what the situation was. 8 minutes later, George Gervin calls me. It was that quick. And in my estimation, very easily, top 10 of one of the all-time greatest players. I know definitely that he's in that class, what we call unique players, body style and style of game.
Boy, there's no doubt. And then, of course, a guy that we love and respect, Bill Schoenig, the yes. NBA voice of the San Antonio Spurs. I love him for play-by-play. You love him. He's a writer. He's a musician. He checks all the boxes.
That's right. He's a universal man, and I love him. You know, but you know what I love about Bill is his enthusiasm, Tim.
Yes.
You can hear it in every word he speaks. His enthusiasm is unique.
No doubt. So, again, that was a fun show. Jim, thanks to you. Of course, thanks to the dynamic duo of Kurt McLaughlin and Marty Allen. Biggest thanks to you, the listeners. Hope you enjoyed it. And don't forget, Cavs basketball comes your way Wednesday night. The Cavs will be in Utah to take on the Jazz. That's a 9 o'clock tip with an 8:30 Huntington tip-off show on the Cavaliers Radio Network. So until then, thank you much for listening, and so long, everybody.